Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, May 16, 2007, the only May 16, 2007, in the history of humanity. Let's get over the hump together. Welcome in for the second round of the Gospel Revolution Spring Pledge Drive, and joining us as always from the home offices in Houston, Texas, is the legendary and president of the Gospel Revolution, who is nicely satisfied now after a delicious Chinese meal, Mr. Michael Williams. How was dinner, Mikey?
Actually, I'm eating right now, so...
You are? What's on the menu tonight?
Lemon chicken.
Yes.
White rice.
Mm-hmm.
And spring rolls. And a Diet Coke on the side.
Sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good here.
You know about the fortune cookies, right?
I'm not sure what part of it you're talking about.
Well, do you have fortune cookies there?
Yes, I do.
Handy? Can you get one?
Hold on, let me get fortune cookie.
This is Glenn Klein Online, educating you beautiful humans.
I know what you're going to do, too.
Yeah, I know you do. But we did not talk about this before, did we?
No, we did not. Is all of our programs.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to a Chinese restaurant,
yeah,
and get a fortune cookie, you can open the fortune cookie, and no matter what your fortune is, you can
follow... It's entertaining.
It is always entertaining, and sometimes more than others, and we'll see how this one works out right now. But you can always follow whatever the fortune is with the phrase, between the sheets, and it will be funny, yeah, and make sense. So, Michael, just spontaneously and randomly, having eaten Chinese food for dinner, has got a fortune cookie there. Let's put this to the test.
I'm cracking it open as we speak.
Okay.
And it says, drum roll, please.
Pretty lame drum roll.
Oh my gosh, this isn't going to go well, Glenn.
I bet it will.
Patience makes wider what sorrow may not heal.
Between the sheets.
Between the sheets.
Exactly. it always works.
I want to try another one?
Yeah.
That one was not that good. Okay, I got one more.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's see. Opening the fortune cookie.
You will raise $500,000 tonight on the Spring Pledge Drive. Between the sheets. It's the Gospel Revolution Escort Service on a Wednesday night.
Okay. Our brightest blazes of gladness are commonly kindled by unexpected sparks between the sheets.
Exactly. See how that works?
One worked really well.
Yeah. Well, they always work. It's just like anything else. Sometimes it works better than others.
Kind of like life, you mean?
Kind of like life.
Wow. We're already getting very deep here, aren't we?
We get very deep. And I was talking to my friend Anthony before the webcast, and we were playing a video game. And he scored perfectly, but he wasn't happy with his score or with the play.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you were the only guy that can get a perfect score and not be happy with it. And he said, yeah, but it's not how I wanted it to go. And I said, yeah, he's in his mid-20s, he's a 20-something kid. And I said, kind of like life, eh? Sometimes life just doesn't go the way we want it to go.
Kind of like fortune cookies.
Yep. But back in the day, Michael, we thought that if we prayed enough and if we... we just got an email from John who said, you guys have been on for 5 minutes or so. he doesn't know that... John doesn't know that we know that...
He doesn't know we know it.
That we're on. Thanks, John, for the heads up, though. Appreciate it. What was I saying? I completely lost my train of thought. Oh, back in the day when we were in the charismatic Word of Faith circles, Michael, we thought that, we needed to believe in order to be made righteous, but if you had enough faith and exercised it in such a way, speaking in tongues, laying on of hands, not drinking, smoking, chewing, or doing anything like that, prayed enough, fasted enough, that you literally could take life's curveballs, and through that spiritual exercise, straighten that all out. And we found that It don't work.
No. You know, and the weird thing is that life on its own does work out. But I think the...
Sometimes.
The ability to influence that. Well, you know, whether it works, whether it goes right or wrong.
It works. I mean, it
works.
There is an outcome, yes, definitely.
And not always the immediate preferred outcome, but boy, I tell you what, I've had knocks in life that I think I'm going to have to wait 20 years to see something good out of it.
Yes.
But I still think that, you know, in the long run, things do run a full cycle, and I don't know what that is, but I'm grateful for having a positive attitude.
No doubt, and I think also we must recognize that no matter what happens in this life, that at the end of the day, or at the end of life, if you will, when we rest at peace with God, whether we had a 100-year life full of trials and tribulations and horrific suffering, or if we lived a charmed life and died healthy and just went to sleep one night, a million years from now, eternity will just be getting going, Michael. And this life, who knows what kind of memories we're going to have of it, but the predominant focus, I think, of eternity is the glory of God, or the peace of God, or that tranquility, that rest, that Sabbath rest that we often talk about. And I got to tell you, I'm good with it. You know, I mean, I'm good.
Yeah, me too.
I'm with this life is an interesting experience, but as Jerry Falwell found out sometime yesterday, there is something very, very good when this life is over, and it's not based on the fact that you found a Christian university or have a home for unwed mothers, or that you came against the civil rights movement, or whatever. But it's the gospel, and that's why we're here. That's what we're doing.
You know, the strange thing is that even with Jerry's stand against the civil rights movement in its early days, he wound up in heaven with the leader of the civil rights movement's daughter on the same day.
Yes, Martin Luther King's Jr.'s daughter died yesterday as well, and by the way, he's up there with Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X and you know, all the people that were freaking out this country back in the late 50s and early 60s, and including the guy that shot Martin Luther King Jr. And I mean, it's this gospel, Michael, is all encompassing. And I want to start, we're going to be talking in a little bit with some supporters that we have in the Philadelphia area, Lisa and Bill Miller.
And yes, Lisa and Bill. Give them the number so they can call in.
Yes,
we
want to encourage them to call, and we'll have the phone line available for your calls and questions and donations as the spring pledge drive continues here for the Gospel Revolution on Glenn Klein Online. But that number is toll-free all over the United States and Canada, and as far as we know, points everywhere else, at 1-800-436-3260. That is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free spring pledge drive hotline. 1-800-436-3260. So we're waiting to hear from Lisa and Bill, because they've got an interesting story to tell.
Oh, they do.
And we want to hear from them as
well.
You know
what, Glenn, as we were just talking, we were talking about the impact of this gospel, and I just had a little mini vision, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It's like, why should we expect, we know that laterally the gospel has had a profound impact between God and man. Why should we not know, or vertically we know that the mm-hmm. impact between God and the planet has been divine. Why should we lessen the vertical impact between men? And that's really what we're looking for, that is, if we can establish in this earth the gospel, which connects laterally every human being on the face of this earth as we are connected vertically with God, that there's going to be a profound impact. But as each and every person individually has been impacted by the vertical impact upon their individual lives, what if we accepted that equally as a lateral impact? with the entire human race. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine what it would do to this planet if we embrace such a concept.
Well, we have experiences in our own individual lives, and even though a lot of my friends, they know that I was a minister, that I do a webcast, but you know, they really don't understand the gospel because unless they've had a discussion with me, which I've had from time to time, but there are many of our friends who really don't have a clue as, and they don't care, frankly. They haven't had a religious experience. That, you know, they're living their lives. God bless them. And as we've said many times, they're probably better off. But be that as it may, the way that I view these people who are Asian and African descent and all different backgrounds and sexes and races and sexual orientations, it's a beautiful thing to have absolutely no judgment or condemnation based on their background, their creed, their color, their behavior, and you can extrapolate that over the planet, Michael. It's
absolutely.
Because we've experienced it individually, we can visualize it universally, if you will.
Absolutely, and that is our vision. That is the thing that I think, as I was talking to Bill and Lisa just a little bit earlier on the phone, that's when I drafted them to call in tonight and be our guest on the program. So now I expect them to feel really crappy if they don't call in. So. But, you know, and that is that power of this oneness, the ability of the human race to grasp that God became a man so man could become God, not in the rulership over all as we know God, but become one with God in righteousness and in
right.
holiness.
Exactly. We are as righteous as Jesus is because
absolutely.
We're all in
and Jesus. As righteous as God is mm-hmm. because there's no difference. And when there is this absolute understanding, it just breaks down all of the walls between me and people. I mean, even though it may be people that I vehemently disagree with, even, you know, Brother Falwell, who has now departed from this life and found out grander things, I'm sure that when I leave this life, I'll find grander things than what I thought. But I'm certainly not going to find out less than what I thought the greatness of God to be. And but even with the disagreement that I had with Jerry Falwell in doctrine and in politics and the whole thing, there's something in me that rejoices that, you know, not that he's dead, but rejoices that that connection between he and God could not be broken by his politics nor by his perception of the gospel or his lack of perception of it.
Exactly.
That's a powerful thing. You know, I heard Tammy Faye on today. Larry King actually got her on the phone, and Tammy Faye said she was down to 65 pounds, albeit she was sitting at a restaurant attempting to eat, which she said she couldn't swallow, but that the totally non-stoppable spirit of Tammy Faye, I mean, here she is dying with cancer, and she's sitting at a restaurant someplace eating, you know. I just have to love the lady, but I was asking her about Jerry Falwell. She broke down and cried, you know.
And they've got some history too.
Oh, they've got history like unbelievable. I mean, he took PTL from them.
He was involved in what amounted to a hostile takeover.
A hostile takeover.
Jim and Tammy Faye Baker's ministry when Jim Baker had his so-called fall from grace.
That's exactly right.
And they made a movie out of it.
Yes.
And, of course, completely misrepresented the grace of God.
Yeah.
Well,
they didn't fall from grace. They fell right into it.
They fell into grace. Exactly
yeah.
right. This is Glenn Klein online, Mike Williams, The Gospel Revolution. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our spring pledge drive, and we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-436-3260. Bill and Lisa Miller are on the clock right now. We're waiting to hear from them at 1-800-436-3260. But this was a great letter, Marco. I think it's a really good way for us to start tonight in earnest with the raising of the funds. Our goal is $5,000 over the next 21 days, ladies and gentlemen. And frankly, we were a little short last week, and we need to pick it up tonight. But this letter comes in from Calgary, from Victor Brennan, and he says, hello, Mike and Glenn. It was very good to see Mike up here in Calgary last week. My questioning is, what is happening with the money? He says he donated $500 last time, but frankly would like to know what the long-term plans are for the ministry. He says, I'm sure I'm not the only one with questions. Don't get me wrong, I'm fully behind Mike and his ministry and have donated thousands over the years as love offerings to Mike, and I hope to continue. But what happens to the money? Keep in mind it's doubly expensive for us in Canada because we get no Canadian tax credit for the U.S. donations. All the best and best wishes, your support in the gospel. Vic, I think this is a great question, Michael. We talk about this a lot. First of all, just from a practical matter, if you send a check from anywhere outside of the United States, please put USF, excuse me, I just sneezed live and on the webcast. Usually my sneezes come in twos. But the USF funds, United States funds, put on the check because that helps us. But what about, Michael, people in Canada that don't get the tax credit? And very briefly, because we do have somebody on the second line, what happens to the money? Where does the money go?
First off, let me say that anyone who contributed during the conference, they will get a tax receipt because it was hosted by Grace Conferences, and that is a legal nonprofit organization. So Vic, make sure that you don't allow your contribution to go without the warranted tax deduction that you have there in Canada. Now, people who send funds directly in, the Canadians, even though the Canadians don't get the tax break that we do, it is minimal. And that's the reason most of them choose just to go ahead and send contributions in anyway without the consideration of a tax break. The ministry here, which is currently still located and headquartered out of Illinois, is a fully accredited, well, I don't think you'd call it accredited. We are, the federal government recognizes us as a tax-exempt organization. The state of Illinois also recognizes us as a tax-exempt organization. So the funds go first into the ministry account. And then from there, of course, there is just the daily function of an office. There is all of the costs that it takes to reproduce CDs and DVDs. God knows Hazel and I both have gone without salaries for quite some time, so we're actually looking at the possibility that the funds that are coming in might actually give us a salary again. And to where that we actually get something that is coming out of it. We have Hazel and I both individually and collectively over the years have always put the funding of the needs of the ministry before ourselves. In fact, when the ministry started to nosedive financially, I had investments. I had investments in the stock market and also in property out in Palm Springs, but I was selling those things off by the chunks to donate myself to $10,000 at a time to the ministry because there were not funds coming in.
Right. Well, we'll talk about this, and we do often, but and Mike is on the phone now, but suffice it to say that right now there's no extra money.
There's no extra money.
Yeah,
no one's getting a salary.
All the money is going to what you're hearing right now and getting this message out in many different ways. And that's what this whole effort's about. It's not changing. And Vic, really appreciate the question.
Yeah,
but just,
thank you so much.
And thanks for contributing. We hope you'll do it tonight again at 1-800-436-3260 or email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We're looking for people to make a one-time gift towards this $5,000 goal. We're looking for folks to become supporters on a monthly basis. We're looking for folks who have never supported the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministry to do it on a monthly basis and let us know so we can count it towards our goal of raising $5,000 over these 21 days and raising 21 individual monthly donors who have not given on a monthly basis. And what? Yes, I'm Pat Jones, he's Johnny on the spot tonight. Patrick L. Jones, the executive producer.
He has a call for us, doesn't he?
He does. He's got Bill Miller on the phone. Bill, you're online from beautiful Philadelphia, and we're getting some serious feedback right now, Patty. Bill, why don't you turn down your computer?
Okay. Hang on, please. Hey, Bill.
He went to turn down his computer.
He obeyed you.
he was obedient. Hey, Bill, how you doing tonight?
I am doing well.
We're getting some serious feedback, Pat. Do you have any idea why? He's working on it, but we'll fight through it. How you doing this evening over there in Philly? You get some rain out there on the East Coast there, are you, Bill?
Well, we got a little bit of rain that seems to be clearing out now.
Right on. Well, say hello to Mike. And
Bill.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, we just talked a little bit earlier. I wanted Bill and Lisa to come on tonight. And I think more than anything, I would like for Bill just to share how he came to understand the gospel. And just, we want to keep you on about 10 minutes here, Bill. And just share with us, how this happened. Where you were with your spirituality, and at what point did something interrupt that? And just share with us what your testimony is about understanding the gospel.
First of all, I want to say you're a rascal for catching me off guard tonight and bringing me on here. I'm a little nervous, but I'll share with you.
Bill, there's nothing to be nervous about. There's just people listening from all over the world, from the Philippines, Africa, Caribbean.
All over the world, Bill.
Thank you, Glenn. I heard that. Well, I had... the short version is that my wife was going to church, and she was being guided by some fundamentalists at the time, and came back and informed me that I was going to be going to hell. And I told her that I didn't think that I was going to. I came down to visit her church with her. Came down there to condemn the church, wound up getting quote-unquote saved that day. It was the last thing I expected. Wound up getting involved with the fundamentalist myself.
Did you have a spiritual experience at that point, Bill?
I had an extremely strong spiritual experience.
That happens sometimes, Michael, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, people do have spiritual experiences in a church setting or reading a religious book, and then what happens?
I was 47 years old, had never been to church but maybe four times in my life or so, and I was brought to tears and felt that God had reached his hand down and touched me on my shoulder. It was an experience that I couldn't even put into words. I didn't even know what happened to me there and then. I walked out of the door not having a clue what just happened, when I had every intention on coming down and basically attending one service and condemning this church, and wound up attending this church, and wound up being heavily influenced by some fundamentalists there, and was involved in a home group, and got very involved in the church, and there were some things there that started to not sit right with me from the leader of the home group, and oddly enough, one of the other pastors of the church knew that I was really struggling at that point in time, wound up very secretly giving me a Michael Williams tape.
Uh-oh. That was the first problem right there, a Michael Williams tape. That's where a lot of problems have started. You know that, don't you, Bill?
it hasn't stopped since. This was extreme contraband in my church, and this was voodoo and black magic and heresy and all sorts of, excommunications, and things would occur if they knew that you had this. And I plugged the tape in and was fascinated from 30 seconds into the tape or so.
How long ago was that?
That was about I guess maybe 2.5 years ago now,
uh-huh.
and maybe 2 years ago. And it was so compelling for me that I wanted to run around and tell everybody about it. And I was cautioned that there was no way in the world that I could do this, that this was not accepted in the church community, and that this would cause not only big problems for me, but the pastor who had slipped me the tape. So I tried to respect his wishes, and I was having a home group meet at my house at the time as well. And
but as soon as he told you you should not listen to him, the tapes even sounded better to you, didn't they?
Contraband.
The worst part was I had to be less than truthful with him for the first few weeks.
Ah, you were in Sinville. See what happened?
Yes, I lied. I lied. I was honest, you sinner. Playing them proudly at my home group. Unbeknownst to
it's kind of like the little churches that are in China, the little house churches. You know, the government doesn't know about it. It's all secretive. That's beautiful.
That's exactly what it was. And if the church would have ever found this out, they would have certainly at least tarred and feathered me. And I finally informed after a couple of weeks of extreme guilt to this other pastor that I had been playing them at my home group.
Wait, Bill, think about this for a second.
Yes.
You were feeling, this is how insidious religion and legalism is, ladies and gentlemen. Here in the United States of America, supposedly one, if not the freest country on the earth, here is a citizen of the country feeling guilty about playing a audio cassette tape in his home. That is just the perfect example of what legalism does and what it seeks to do. It's to keep people undercover, under wraps, and in control.
It was not only that, but I also thought it was the greatest thing that I had ever heard, and thought that it was ridiculous that I had to suppress this. And we were so big on the truth and the light and the way in church. Well, why couldn't we explore this, which I happened to believe was the truth, or the closest thing to the truth that I had heard up to that point in time? And wound up, I got to the point where I couldn't, and didn't really care about holding back anymore, that I believed what I was hearing so much that I didn't really matter about the consequences.
Now, you and your wife, Lisa, subsequently had Mike come to your area.
That's correct. Mike visited us last summer here at my house.
Yeah, how was that?
And it was fantastic. Mike had such insight and just did such a great it was a long weekend is what it was with us, with a small group of people. We only had about a dozen people here. Mike said he would come out for one person. He was very gracious. And
see, we say this, Michael, but here is absolute
proof. Evidence.
and when people are listening right now, are thinking about having you in, Mike, they've got to realize that generally speaking, this happens in people's homes. When you went to Georgia recently, it was a small group of people.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most incredible weekends that I had spiritually. I can say that. With Mike had such revelation that weekend that he was here that he blew everybody away. And we still talk about it and some of the things of his teachings that weekend. It was incredible, and I would love to put together another time with Mike, believe me.
Well, you know, Bill, we're doing the Spring Pledge Drive right now. Now, just in a few sentences, could you explain to folks who are listening why they should support this effort with their finances?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I will pledge $200 right now.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. That gets us off the schneid tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're $200 in. That's beautiful.
And I will lead by example.
All right.
And that this man and his message that he carries is I can't even begin to tell you how incredible it is, how life-changing it is, and how he touches people's lives as he travels around and very, very humbly, graciously comes in, very quietly, just does amazing things to people's lives and then gently leaves and leaves a lasting impression for the rest of your life. And I can't say enough about Mike Williams and his teachings and what he has done for the insight that I have in my spirituality. And I wish that everybody would try and just support him in whatever way you can. I mean, even if it's not a great amount of money, if it's $10, if it's $50, whatever it is, he comes, he doesn't ask how much he's going to get. He teaches, he gives his all, and I just can't tell you how much he needs your support and how me personally experiencing him coming into my house, how I would urge you all to reach into your pockets and help him carry this message out and touch the lives of others who so greatly need it.
Well, we're talking with Bill Miller from his home in Philadelphia. This is Glenn Klein Online. Mike Williams with us at the Gospel Revolution, the Spring Pledge Drive. And we've got a great email, guys. This will encourage you. This comes from Jason Worley from Scottsboro, Alabama. And this is great. He says, Mike, a couple of months ago I emailed you and Glenn during a Gospel Revolution webcast. You took the time to answer most of my questions. Thank you for that. Although I'm still not 100% sure that what you are teaching is correct, I believe in my heart that there is more truth in what you say than in the way God is portrayed in the Baptist church where I'm still technically a member. He says, I'm sending this $20 donation today to help you spread the good news of grace and peace to those who need to hear it. I plan to continue donating on a regular basis because you and the freedom in Christ that you preach have been a blessing to me. I won't let my freedom lead to your poverty. Thanks again for what you are doing and keep up the good work. That's Jason Worley from Scottsboro, Alabama. And he says, P.S., this donation is coming from a man who is currently unemployed. That's what we're talking about. He doesn't even know, he's not even 100% sure. There's so many people out there, Bill, right now, that are 100% sure that this is exactly the clarity and the conciseness of the gospel. This is the true message of the gospel. And Jason is referencing something that Mike said in the last pledge drive, which was don't let your freedom in Christ, ladies and gentlemen, lead to poverty for Michael and his family. And he was quoting you, Mike. I mean, that's a beautiful letter from a guy who's, you know, he's just starting to get with the program, so to speak. That's fantastic. So, Bill, you're married to Lisa, and is she into this gospel thing as well?
I'm laughing. This gospel thing.
Is she there? Can we say hello to her?
Yes, you can.
Hey, thank you very much for taking the time for the donation.
She's motioning to me that she doesn't want the phone.
Well, tell her
a little bit of shyness. But
tell her that you're the husband and you are the head, and she must submit.
I ran that one by her. That one's worn out now since Mike was coming
to the picture. You did it again, Michael.
Yep. Here she is.
All right.
Hello?
There's Lisa Miller. Lisa, this is Glenn Klein, Mike Williams. How are you this evening?
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
We're doing wonderfully. And thanks for getting on with us. So Bill gave us a little bit of your background and your story, and you had Mike in your home.
Uh-huh.
And was he a clean guest?
Of course.
Ask personal things like that.
Oh, okay. How did you enjoy the meetings when he was there?
Oh, it was incredible. It really was. It was just you know, like Bill said. I mean, there was a lot of life changing moments happening with, you know, each of the days, and just some eye opening experiences. And I think what was so incredible is how some things came right to Mike as the meetings were going on. That's what was so incredible. It wasn't something that was so planned and rehearsed and studied, and though it was, at the same time as he was getting into it, you know, he's starting to have a revelation.
Yeah.
You know, and the rest of us are standing around just experiencing this, and, you know, we're so lucky to be able to experience something like that in your lifetime. I can't imagine ever having that opportunity. Nobody teaches this, you know, and once you hear it, it really does change your life. Nothing else makes sense. Everything you've ever learned, everything you've ever been taught, I mean, you know, you've been there. And then this just all comes together. Every single piece of the puzzle just fits in absolutely perfectly, and every light goes on. And it's really amazing. And to see some of the other people in our house that we had over, some relatives, we had some friends, we had some people who were sort of on the fence with it. You know, they were kind of accepting it, but still very much used to just everything they've been taught.
Right.
And, you know, listening to their conversations on the side was really interesting, too.
Yes,
to see how things affected them and how they're taking that with them from that time. You know, they've taken that with them. And maybe a little bit later on, they'll listen to another tape or something, and it'll all come back to them again. And that's what is really so important, that once someone hears the message, then maybe they're taking that message somewhere. I know I have. You know, even if I work in an office and I have some Christian friends in my office that go to, I don't even know what, you know, it's legalistic for sure. There's no doubt about it. But maybe because this gospel's never been introduced to them, it's all they know is the legalistic aspect of the gospel, of what's being taught. And little by little, when I get my moments, I'll throw something in there. And
what is their response? I mean, do they engage you in conversation? Do they find it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, it depends on who the person is. But
right.
Most of the people, because they're close friends of mine, they will engage in conversation with me. And I know that they don't totally agree with me most of the time, but I know they're walking away thinking about it. I know they are, because they'll strike up the conversation with me again a little bit later. And that's what's really, I think that's so important. And I'd love to just, you know, give them a tape or, you know, hey, you got to come over next time Mike's here, or, you know.
Well, send them to the website and they can listen to the archives. There's about 30 archive shows.
Right.
We cover pretty much all bases.
Exactly.
Now, here's the interesting thing here with Lisa and Bill is that, do you know that churches, after they go in and share what they deem to be the gospel, they then have to have classes to try to invoke and provoke people into going out and sharing it, and why they should share it, and what's going to happen if they don't share it. And Lisa, did I tell you guys at any point that it was your job to go out and share this?
No. Nope.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah. It's because it's done. It's already done. It doesn't make a difference. I mean, it makes a difference to us as humans, you know, and our humanity, whether we share it with each other, because it's so meaningful to us, but it's already done. You know, you're already going to heaven. It doesn't make a difference if I go and share this with someone. It's not going to save my life. It's not going to make me go to heaven. But that's what makes it even more interesting. You're just so driven to go tell somebody, because there is no reason. There is no.
That's the lot.
Yeah, that's the greatest part of it.
You found out some good news, and unlike Fox News and MSNBC and CNN, you want to share some good news.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great, Lisa. Hey, I don't know if Bill cleared this with you before we went on, but he just donated $200. So
okay.
I hope you're okay. I hope you haven't caused any marital stress this evening. Because, you know, Lise, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Yeah, right. Isn't that the truth?
Well, you sound pretty happy. You guys got kids?
No.
Oh, that's the way to, you know, as a parent of six, there's part of me that's envious and jealous. Hey, but thanks for your support.
There's a reason for everything, you know.
We think that.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Hey, Lee.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Thanks. And have
good talking to you. Thank you.
And have Mike back in Philly sometime.
any time. I've been depressed since he left.
You don't sound too depressed. If that's depression, Lise, you're doing real good. You're doing real good. All right, honey, thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks.
Say bye to Bill for us.
Okay, I will.
All right, that's Lisa and Bill Miller from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who had Mike in, who just donated $200. And Mike, this is how people do it. They get in touch with us through the website at the webcast at gospelrevolution.com. You can email us there or just go to gospelrevolution.com. Click on Invite Mike and get the process going. It's not expensive.
This is it in a nutshell. I mean, listen to these two people. My goodness. And, I spoke with Bill for an hour on the phone this evening, and, I mean, we were just floating around in heavenly places, you know, talking about things that only people who share something as deep and meaningful as the gospel can possibly do. And then, of course, got the chance to talk with Lisa also. And I mean, you know, we don't have to try to go around proving the impact of this gospel. I mean, we hear these people's voices, and they're saying nothing that every one of our listeners have not experienced. And the simplicity of putting on a meeting. I mean, they took the responsibility for the expense of getting me out there, and that was the totality of it. And we allowed the people to buy the tapes, and we allowed them an opportunity to give, and that's what we did. You know, and it has impacted lives for eternity, no doubt.
Well,
for eternity.
The Millers got us off to a good start here with a $200 contribution, and then Jason Worley contributed $20, which we really appreciate.
Yes.
And here we have another email. And email us your donations, people, at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We have a goal tonight of $1,666.66. We need somebody to donate that 66 cents, too, by the way, because we really like to hit the entire goal tonight. We were well under $1,000 last week, so we have some room to make up as well. But here, this is from Dwayne DeCou and Ruth Merritt. They said, Mike and Glenn, this is just a quick email to let you know we made a donation of $100 to the Mike Williams Ministry via PayPal, which is at the gospelrevolution.com website.
Yes.
We were unable to listen to Wednesday's webcast, but are enjoying it this Thursday evening. Yeah, a lot of folks listen to it, and they say here, Dwayne and Ruth say, thank you so much for the archives. If you're listening on the archive, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution, as Dwayne and Ruth did, and let us know what you're going to do as a one-time gift towards the $5,000 goal for the next 21 days and what you can do on a monthly basis. So they made a $100 contribution. They will be getting the free CD, which is the Hot Off the Presses Golgotha Secret. And for a $100 gift, you will receive this new CD that Mike just taught in Calgary. They say, we often go back and listen to the webcast more than once. These webcasts have become our quote-unquote church. Thank you for the hard work and in the encouraging teaching. We felt badly that we could not make it to Calgary when Mike was there, but our schedule just did not permit it at this time, next time. And there will be a next time.
In November.
In November.
Yes. Be sure and stay posted, because we'll be announcing the date probably this week.
Now that the Millers are off the phone, what a pleasure it was to listen to them and to talk to them. We're going to take your questions and comments and your pledges tonight. We need to have somebody pick up the phone right now at 1-800-436-3260. Patrick Jones waiting anxiously to take your call at 1-800-436-3260. Let's keep the momentum going, folks. Somebody pick up the phone that's listening right now and get on the phone, make a contribution, large or small, and all counts towards getting this gospel out. 1-800-436-3260. Let's see, we've got another donation that just came in.
Awesome.
It says, David Dwyer from Australia is writing, and because the last, or one of the last posts, we asked when Mother's Day was, where people were listening, and he says, same day in Australia. Cheers, mate. So I didn't know that. Mother's Day is the same day in Australia.
I did not know that either.
So we just learned something like that. Here's Mary from Villa Rica, Georgia. Dear Glenn and Mike, the true gospel of Jesus Christ has changed my life. I would like to pledge $20 per month.
Awesome.
Mary. Thank you very much, Mary. We really appreciate it. Just go to the gospelrevolution.com website and click on the donations, and you can make your first pledge there. And then also, if you want to send slip to us, giving us the information, just send it to Mike Williams Ministry, WMW, P.O. Box 572, Olney, Illinois, 62450, USA. That's Mike Williams Ministry, MWM, P.O. Box 572, Olney, Illinois, O-L-N-E-Y, 62450. And if you're sending checks outside of the United States, please include USF or United States funds on the check. That's very, very much needed and helpful.
Saves a lot of time and expense on the bank.
And we appreciate it very much. We've got a question, Michael. This comes from Lori Durr, who, let's see where she's writing from Cleveland, Ohio. Beautiful Cleveland.
Yeah.
Home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She says, hello, Glenn and Mike. I felt a similar thing when I saw that Jerry Falwell had died. I said, I wonder what his reaction was when he entered heaven and saw all the people he thought were in hell. Hopefully he wasn't too upset. No, I don't think he was too upset, Laura.
He may have had another heart attack.
Well, we only live once, but I guess we could die twice. She says, I have a question I would like to ask. It has to do with the devil and how much power or perceived power he has today. I deal with this line of thinking because I have a friend who had a very intense situation, mostly in the past, which I cannot explain away to her by telling her that Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. When she first became a Christian in the typical way, accepting Jesus as her Savior, she was a charismatic Catholic and was in a prayer group that later was found to be a coven of witches. Sounds like a made-for-TV movie. This was confirmed by another acquaintance of mine who found out the same thing. They were covert in their mission, but they did and do like to put hexes on people. My friend remembers the hell she went through at the time of her life and tells of all kinds of demonic phenomena going on in her home and all the physical manifestations she dealt with, even the bed shaking and the things moving themselves, knocking on the walls, etc. Her husband, who was not a believer at the time, also witnessed these events. To this day, she is in constant state of coming against the devil, and she insists many things that people are going through is due to a demon oppressing them. I want to disagree with her, but I can't tell her if it's something she is inaccurately believing. It would insult her with all the things she has gone through, although I told her that the people involved have no power other than they are themselves victims of the systems they are involved in. Can you address this? I've been thinking of this quite a bit. I have some ideas with no concrete explanation. Thank you and thanks for all I've learned on Gospel Logic and Gospel Revolution, where I am a monthly member. Well, Laurie, thank you for being a monthly member.
Yes, thank you, Laurie.
All right, so what about this, Michael? What about the bed shaking and the phenomenons that we saw in the movie The Exorcist and the exorcisms and the witch covens and all this stuff?
Well, if there's anything stronger than someone putting a curse on you, it's your belief that they have the power to do it, which is a mind-altering experience. Their curses are not mind-altering, but your fear of them and your embracing of them is mind-altering, no doubt. No doubt, again, there's a lot of people with a lot of experiences, and I really appreciate Lori not having the wisdom not to try to disprove this girl's experience, because that's not what we're all about with the gospel. When you start coming against someone's experience, you have closed the door to them hearing your voice. There's going to be a lot of people with a lot of experiences that I cannot explain, and I don't even have the desire to explain, and much less explain it away. And there will be many people, and not just here, but and on many different levels of spiritual expression, they're going to have these experiences. And I don't doubt that they're real. But they're real to them. And that's where it begins and that's where it ends. Just like any type of spiritual expression that I may give to my wife, it's real for me. It may never be real for anybody else. Like I've told people, I know the Holy Spirit is the great teacher. And just as Lisa and Bill described, that there were moments that they knew. They could see and feel that I was outside of myself and that I was teaching and learning as they were learning. And that's an experience that a lot of people have had. I know I've had in teaching, and people who've been in the sessions. And it's very tangible when that happens. Now, I, of course, believe with all my heart that the only power that the devil has is that now through more of the power of suggestion. But it's irrelevant as to whether it's suggestion or whether it is through the law or what it is. If someone believes that they have gotten freedom through something like that, that's quite all right. But you should not, as this poor girl is doing, is living her life in fear of the devil and believing that everything that's happening around her of any negative consequence is created by a demonic influence. You know, I quit talking to the devil years ago, and we lost our personal friendship that I was so eloquently introduced to by the Word of Faith movement and by the Charismatic movement. And I lost my friendship and my constant communication with the devil. And I don't even think about it anymore.
All right, so if somebody you knew at a witch coven or whatever put a hex on you, what would you do and what would your reaction be?
I would do nothing. Because any action at all to me would be affirming that this was something true. And I just, you've got to understand that the power of these things, if there is a power in them, is in you embracing them. It's in me being afraid of them. It's in me embracing them. It's in me responding to it. And, you know, if a group of people in a witch coven want to gather around me and put a hex on me, I'll come to their church and say, gather around, you know, one and all, you know, do what you will, because there is nothing in me that embraces that at all. And I would welcome the spiritual experience. I mean, you know, if I can get delivered later, I mean, you know, if they can get something to happen, I would, you know, it's great. Let's go for it.
Let's get the bed to shake in a new way.
That's right. Let's shake things up. You know, that's what we used to say anyway. But, you know, I would welcome the experience, you know, because I don't have any fear of those things. Right. Now, I might change my mind if I get in a room and the bed starts shaking up. You know, you might change my mind about something. But, you know, the issue here, and I so appreciate the question, because the issue here is that these things are not the issue. And that we can embrace people who have had these experiences. We can embrace people who know beyond the shadow of a doubt they've never had the slightest spiritual experience in their life. They've never heard voice of God, voice of the devil. They've never heard anything, but yet see, still with the gospel, we can boldly proclaim the unity of the human race under the banner of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where we rise back to, you know. We don't sink into these quarrels and debates with people. And you know, I could embrace this girl who's saying the bed's shaking and everything just like anybody else, and just smile at her when she tells the stories. I don't have to. You know, there's a powerful thing about if somebody doesn't ask the question, maybe you shouldn't have an answer. And I've been living by that for several years, and I've sat through a bunch of bull crap and let people just talk their way through, and they think I agree with them because they never have a question. But if you just leave your heart open and let them ask, I just cannot tell you how much I admire Lori for refusing to answer questions that haven't been asked. Because, see, Lori, you have left the door open for them to connect to you. Had you voiced your opinion, you would have shut the door. And now that door is open. Somebody who had an extreme spiritual experience, you did not allow that to offend you, and you allow them to have that experience, because it's irrelevant as to whether it was real or not. It doesn't change the gospel. To no iota does it change
exactly.
The gospel.
Exactly. And, you know, see, there's really no difference when you get right down to it. Everybody has stuff happen in their lives. I
absolutely.
Mean, right now as we're speaking, there's somebody having a car accident somewhere. Whether they had a hex put on them by a coven of witches or not. And so regardless if there's a phenomenon happens, there's positive things that happen too, not because people spent all night in a prayer vigil, But people's lives are spared, and cool things happen, and this is called life. It's called life. And so even though there's certain things we cannot literally explain, and actually when you think about it, there's so much of life that we cannot explain, doesn't mean that it came from the devil. And but if you believe it, Michael, then it becomes real to that person.
It becomes real to that person, and that's where that my advice would be, don't challenge that. Don't ever challenge someone's experience, because their experience is their experience. I mean, I would be offended if I told you something that I had an experience with. If someone started challenging my reality of that and my definition of that experience, and we just got to get off of that square, because we have such greater things to relate to people on rather than our experience. You know, I was on here just, 2 weeks ago, telling people of the experience I had with my dad. We sat on the side of the road and watched the moon split in two, become two separate balls and disappear, you know. And my dad said, it's the end of the world, who's the most unspiritual man I ever met in my life. And to this day, nobody knows what that was. But no
well,
one
we
will
know, ever we know it wasn't. Here. We know it wasn't the end of the world.
It wasn't. Unless a great rapture took place of people of this very select that we just didn't make it. But
Speaking of the rapture, I don't know if this story is true, because
I know, I read it too.
I saw an episode of 6 Feet Under that had this exact scenario. And when you saw it on the show, it was definitely feasible. But this story came to us from Arkansas City. And it says, a Little Rock woman was killed yesterday after leaping through her moving car's sunroof during an incident best described as a mistaken rapture by dozens of eyewitnesses. 13 other people were injured after a 20-car pileup resulted from people trying to avoid hitting the woman, who was apparently convinced the rapture was occurring when she saw 12 people floating up into the air and then passed a man on the side of the road who she believed was Jesus. She started screaming, "He's back, he's back," and climbed out through the sunroof and jumped out of the roof of the car, said Everett Williams, husband of, any relation, Michael?
I it sounds like my relatives.
Everett Williams, husband of 28-year-old George Ann Williams, who was pronounced dead at the scene. "I was slowing down, but she wouldn't wait till I stopped," Williams said. "She thought the rapture was happening and was convinced that Jesus was going to lift her up into the sky." He went on to say, "This is the strangest thing I've ever seen since I've been on the force," said Paul Madison, the first officer on the scene. Madison questioned the man, who looked like Jesus, and discovered that he was on his way to a toga costume party when the tarp covering the bed of his pickup truck came loose and released 12 blow-up sex dolls filled with helium, which floated into the sky. Ernie Jenkins, 32, of Fort Smith, who's been told by several of his friends that he looks like Jesus, pulled over, lifted his arms into the air in frustration, said, "Come back," just as Williams' car passed him, and Mrs. Williams was sure that it was Jesus lifting people up into the heavens as they drove by him. "I think that my wife loved Jesus more than she loved me," the widower said, when asked why his wife would do such a thing. When asked for comments about the 12 sex dolls, Jenkins replied, "This is all just too weird for me. I never expected anything like this to happen." You know,
well, it's certainly a good example of experience giving definition to belief. That's
yes,
for sure.
And frankly, if this was actually true, 6 Feet Under on HBO had it about 3 or 4 years ago, and I watched this thing, and the woman got out of her car and she was hit. If you know that show, it takes place in a
This sounds like an urban legend.
Yeah.
But anyway,
but
it's
still a good story,
and
it's believable, because Michael, there are literally hundreds of millions of people around the world waiting for this Fakakta rapture.
Yeah.
Do you know what Fakakta means?
No.
It's great Jewish terms. It basically means full of crap.
Fakakta.
And we were waiting for it. We talked about earlier, we have 6 children, and we started having kids in 1986. And if anybody would have told me that I would have seen my 6 children reach puberty and adulthood before the rapture, I would have said they were absolutely out of their mind.
Yep.
And we made some major decisions in our life based on the fact that we thought the end of the world was going to happen any day.
Yep, that's very true.
And people are still locked there. And that's one of the things that the gospel revolution does. Is, Michael, convey a story for the folks as we continue with the spring pledge drive here. We've got some more contributions coming in right now. About when you have shared with people who've been locked in that rapture, the world is coming to an end mindset, and you tell them what the actual end of the world actually was 2,000 years ago. And what we've got entire teachings about this, ladies and gentlemen, that are available to you at gospelrevolution.com. But what has been your experience of people when they realize they don't have to fear a second coming or an apocalypse or a rapture in the next 12 seconds?
Well, the end of the world, of course, which is totally out of context altogether. I to share that with you, I'd have to take you back to Canada again in a conference that I actually taught that in the very first time. Actually, I taught on it before, and that was not the first time. But within less than a year later, a young man who was in the conference that I was in the year before, who was 14 years old at the time, had come with his father. And I didn't hear the story until I was standing in the hallway with the father after I taught for about 3 days. I taught all week long that week, three times a day, and that's when I swore I'd never do that again. And but I stood in the hallway talking with this gentleman, and he was weeping and trying to compose himself to talk to me, and finally he got the words out, and he told me, he said, Mr. Williams, he said, I don't even know how to express to you what you've done to my family. He said, a year ago, my 14-year-old son was visiting some friends, and they were coming to one of your meetings, which he admitted that had he known what they were taking him to, he would have forbidden his son to go, because his son had been raised in a very good Christian family and in church, and he said, we did all that we knew to do as a Christian family, including teach them of the end-time doctrines. And he said, you know, we were losing our son, and that he was walking through the house, up and down the hallways in the house, wringing his hands, could not sleep at night, and that he was getting so psychotic that they were ready to pursue professional help, which as Christians, they were just finding a very difficult time to do that. But he was in such a state that that's where they were going. And he said that, I didn't know what you had told my son, but he went to one meeting of yours and sat for 1 hour and came home and never wrung his hands again, slept peacefully at night, and his entire life changed. And he was standing there telling me how grateful he was. At the end of that session, where his father and his son was, we had several people there at that conference for a full week. And everyone had the opportunity, as you hear when we do the meetings, many times we give everybody a chance to say what they want. And the last one to share was now this 15-year-old. The microphone was passed to him, and he had just one line to say. And we asked, how did this impact you as a 15-year-old, and he said, I have a future.
Wow.
And I melted. I crumbled, Glenn. I just crumbled. And to think that the words that I had said had released this young man from the fear and dread of the end of the world and judgment and punishment and anger and wrath, that it had freed him to say, I have a future. What an amazing thing.
That's what we have a future, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We all have a future.
Yeah.
And it's full of good stuff, and it's full of grace and peace and ultimate peace with God in eternity, however that manifests itself. And getting back to our first question from Vic in Canada, what happens to this money? This is what happens to the money, Vic.
This is it.
Thank God. I feel like saying hallelujah, so I will.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
This is the Spring Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. We need you folks to get involved right now. The phone line is available. Through your generous donations, we were able to put a second phone line here in the studio, and we want you to use it tonight to talk to Mike, ask questions, and make a contribution. Large or small, we need your help. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. $3,260 for a gift of $100 or more, you will receive free of charge the brand new teaching CD, Golgotha's Secret, that Mike just recorded in Calgary. This comes from John in New Jersey, Michael. He says, Mike and Glenn, since you asked us to write in our pledges, I wanted you to know that I sent $25 in tonight towards your goal. I know it's not very much, but I hope that everyone out there will give whatever they can to keep the gospel message traveling around the globe. It is so needed in this world. Thanks, guys, he says. Well, we thank you, John. That is beautiful. Yeah, $25 is huge. All the $10, the $25, the $100 gifts, there are people out there that can give $1,000, but everything goes towards the same goal, which is spreading this good news.
And especially if these guys do this on a monthly basis. I mean, when you stop and think of the impact that has on our yearly income, I mean, you know, somebody, I mean, just like John, I mean, he's not able to give give $100, but I mean, if somebody can do that once a month, my goodness, I mean, look, I mean, you did over the period of a year, you're giving $400. And if everybody just did $25 a month, my goodness, what an impact that would make on our yearly balance.
No doubt. And there's a lot of ways to do this, folks. What we're asking you to do is let us know what you're going to do tonight. Email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you're going to do for a one-time gift towards our $5,000 goal over the next 21 days. And also, what you can do, as Michael said, on a monthly basis. You can email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. You can send your checks to the P.O. Box, which is on the Gospel Revolution website. If you don't have something to write with right now, gospelrevolution.com. The address is P.O. Box 572 Olney, Illinois. P.O. Box 572 Olney, O-L-N-E-Y, Illinois 62450. And just make your checks out to MWM. And if you're sending it outside the United States, please include United States funds or USF on the check. That helps us out a lot. Explain, Michael, why that is important for people that are sending checks from outside the country.
Well, when a check comes into the U.S., if it is not stamped that amount that you're giving is in U.S. funds, what they have to do is send that check off and get it converted, the amount converted to the funds at the time that it is going into the account. And if it is in U.S. funds, number one, see, like we have to, I think like for each check that does not say USF on it, it costs $15 to process that if you happen to leave that off. So like, you know, if you had a gift of $15 and you failed to put that in USF just over the top of your number there, that check would be completely absorbed in cost. So on a $100 check, we don't want to lose that $15 processing that I was told by the bank that it cost at the time that we checked on all of these things. So that's the reason it's important. If you want to give in Canadian funds, just figure it out before you send it and put that amount down. That way the bank doesn't have to charge us to do the conversion on it.
1-800-436-3260 is the number to call with your questions. We're taking your comments tonight, your questions as always. 1-800-432-3260, and also your pledge, if you will, towards our $5,000 goal. We've got 21 days. We are in the second week of the Spring Pledge Drive here at the Gospel Revolution. This is Glenn Klein online. Michael, we've got a question about faith, which has been a subject we've been dealing with quite a bit lately. It says, Mike, I agree with you that what you've been saying about it's not our faith, but it is God's faith. But where does our faith come into play? Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Just where does our faith play into anything? This is Robert from Morganton, North Carolina.
Well, in particular reference to this verse where Jesus was teaching, I think just the same as Jesus said, you know, as it is according to your faith, be it unto you. He also taught that according to your obedience, be it unto you. And thank God that our faith and our obedience was so overshadowed that it was obliterated by the faith and the obedience of Jesus Christ. When I look at my own faith, I'm simply looking at the term confidence for me. It is the element of confidence that I walk about in this life. And there is a thing in me that I've told friends this for years. I don't know why it's there, but I know that no matter what I face, no matter how big the tragedy or how great the blessing, if you will, I just have this thing in me that believes, there's a confidence that in me that everything's going to turn out to the good for me in the end. I just don't worry about it. And, you know, somebody might say, well, what if it doesn't? Well, I'm never going to know if it doesn't, because I am always looking that no matter what the situation, that it's eventually going to turn in my favor. Now, so far I've not been disappointed, but I have to admit there's been times that I've waited years to see those things happen.
And some things you're still waiting for.
And some things I'm still waiting for, and I may die in this life still waiting to see things
right.
Turn to my favor. But I'm not going to live in hopelessness every day that way. I live with optimism in my heart, and somebody might say, well, what if none of that, what you just said, is true? That, well, I'm not using my confidence to make something happen. I'm just confident that things are going to turn out right. It's kind of like when you share the gospel with somebody. And I was telling Bill earlier when we were talking, I never see their first reaction as the final reaction. I know that things are going to change. I know that their first reaction will not be the final word. On that. So I just have no, I'm just not moved by people's initial reaction to the gospel, even though it might be violent even, which we've certainly seen over the years. And sometimes just spiteful, sometimes just mocking, but it's just, it doesn't mean anything to me. So it's kind of like the same way, I suppose I'm trying to say, is that in my life now, there's such a confidence in just the whole big scheme of things. I don't sweat through the hardships as spiritual things. I just somehow have a confidence in my heart that it's going to turn out good. I can't explain that, but I can tell you what it does for me. It keeps me out of hopelessness. And in my life right now, I mean, there's many people who are listening to me, including you, Glenn, know that we're still facing just a very devastating thing in my family. But I just have this, I have something that, it's not like I'm believing that it's going to change, because I'm not. I'm not trying to exercise my faith toward it or toward God to get it to change. I just know that there is an element of life that is usually unseen that is involved. I do know there's an element unseen involved, so therefore my optimism stays.
Right, and we were talking about this earlier as far as taking our own personal experience and being able to extrapolate it globally as far as the gospel is concerned, but you can do that with every situation. I mean, you take a look at the human experience, things generally improve over time. And then you can look back and say, okay, well, I'm sure when people were going through the Civil War in this country, they could never have envisioned what came out of that tragedy.
Oh, absolutely.
Which was, yeah. You know, we have civil rights now, even though, you know, Brother Jerry called them civil wrongs. We have civil rights. We have mixed marriages of races in this country. This was unheard of, even up till 50, 60 years ago. So you can take a look at the human experience generally and bring that back down to your life, just like we take our lives and extrapolate that in a larger way. And Michael, generally speaking, things turn around from tragedies and from trials and tribulations. This is what generally
Absolutely.
Happens.
Absolutely. It's the human experience. And I have come to be, have become confident in that experience. Now, to whatever degree that any individual wants to involve God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit in those things, I'm certainly not offended by it. I just don't have the wisdom to define exactly what God is or is not doing,
right,
or what Jesus is or is not doing, or what the Holy Spirit is or is not doing.
Currently, we do know, however, what the Holy Spirit has done and what Jesus did.
And what God has done.
Right.
And that is the powerful thing, is that my job as a teacher of the gospel is not to tell people what God is or is not doing, will or will not do. It is to tell them what has already happened. And if they get nothing out of life from God except that which has happened, you have all of life. You have everything that pertains to life and godliness living in you. You have a treasure that lives in an earthen vessel. You're made one with God. So it's not like I'm looking for an experience to validate what I believe, because the validation is in my identity, not in my experience. And that identity cannot be shaken from me anymore. And that is the message that I convey. Now, there are many people who believe in daily influence in their life by God, and they know that they can see God in the small things. And if I were to use the term God, I would say, yeah, I agree. But I just don't want to limit myself more than anything. I just see life as so beautiful now, Glenn. I see life and existence on this planet as such a beautiful thing, even in the midst of the horrible tragedies that I have experienced, even of late. I still see life as a beautiful, beautiful thing. Even my disappointments, I know that there's an element beyond my disappointment that I can't see. So it leaves me as an eternal option.
And, you know, regardless, and we've had this discussion many times, to the degree of how much God is involved in our day-to-day lives, we know this, that when we talk about the gospel, or which literally means, that's what meditate literally means, is to mutter. When we mutter about the gospel and have our minds and our souls renewed to this, it puts a different light on regardless of what situation you're facing.
Absolutely.
And it also keeps you grounded. So when things are going good, it also keeps you grounded into, well, you know, I'm blessed right now. I've got this nice thing happening. But compared to heaven, compared to being righteous with God, it pales in comparison to that kind of stuff.
Well, and not only that, it keeps you grounded in that when something's going good in your life, you don't turn around and say it's going good because I have done this or done that. You just accept it as good, and it doesn't give you a measuring stick to say, well, obviously these people are not in the will of God or whatever the spiritual definition would be. We just know that good things are happening, and just the same as bad things can happen, good things can happen, but good or bad. As Paul said, I have learned that no matter what state I am in, therewith to be content.
It's so wonderful as we're talking about these very practical matters, and Robert had a good question about faith, that we're talking Bible terms. I mean, we do have a treasure in earthen vessel. There are riches that are unspeakable. There is joy, unspeakable and full of glory.
Yeah.
And it's not the goosebumps that we used to get when, you know, the preacher would preach a certain way. I bet you could preach that way from time to time. I bet you could get those goosebumps going, couldn't you?
Occasionally, I actually give the folks a little experiment with it, or an experience with that type of preaching.
you want to right now?
Let's not.
Let's not and say we did.
Let's not say we did.
We've only got about 10 minutes left in this edition of Glenn Klein Online. 10 minutes left in round two of the Spring Pledge Drive, and we've had some nice donations tonight. You know, Mike, I think we have got to be frank with the folks, whether they're listening live or on the webcast, that in order to move this thing forward, we have got to have folks step up. I mean, $5,000 is not a lot of money to raise in 21 days.
No,
I mean, when you consider what TBN and CBN and Joyce Meyer...
Oh, I was watching the 700 Club the other day. They're in their pledge thing, whatever they call it, and people calling in, we just had so-and-so double their yearly contribution from $2,500 to $5,000 and from $50,000 to 100,000. It's like, oh my gosh, you know? And so, yes, this is real country we're in here, you know, and it's real. And if what we were in deserves support, my God, folks, this certainly deserves our finances.
And I think we've demonstrated now that regardless of how quickly the money comes in, we are in this for the long haul. I mean, we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay consistent with the message. The message, the gospel, is so consistent in and of itself. And this is what we teach. This is what we preach. It just, Michael, it would be expeditious for the money to come in faster. We would be able to do more, teach more, go more places, touch more people.
Yeah.
So this is what we're asking you to do, folks. Get online. If you're listening on the archive right now, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We'll get it. We'll share it in our total next week. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and let us know what you'll do towards that $5,000 goal. We're not asking you to give $5,000, or that would be nice. We're just asking you to contribute toward this $5,000 goal. We're basically raising $5,000 to run this effort for the next 3 months. That's what we're doing. And that's where the money goes, into all the expenses of producing the materials, producing the webcast, sending Mike where he needs to go, and frankly, feeding Mike and his family, for God's sakes. 1-800-436, if you're listening right now, 1-800-436-3260 is the number to call. There's still a little over 5 minutes. We'd love to hear from you with a pledge. It would finish our night strong. 1-800-436-3260. We're looking for $5,000 in the next 21 days. We're looking for 21 new people who have not ever committed on a monthly basis to do that. It could be $5 a month. It could be $10 a month. Do something. This gospel that we have shared has benefited your life. And how can you convey that, Michael, in a financial term? You really can't. But we're asking
really
people to respond financially.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we feel futile in being able to give full expression to the gospel, much less to be able to try to express the financial part of it. I mean, it really is. I mean, what we're trying to do here tonight, Glenn, is connect with people's hearts. And, you know, what Bill and Lisa had to share was so alive. And, folks, that's worth everything to hear and understand that this is an ongoing thing. We're not talking about testimonies from, you know, 40 years ago, which I remember that's what the charismatic movement was thriving on, was, you know, 40-year-old testimonies. And let me tell you, this is real. This is today, it's now. And the people whose lives are being totally converted, there's no expression of words. I mean, Bill and Lisa ran out of words to be able to express what the gospel has done in their lives, and it is certainly worthy of my support. Let me say this also, Glenn, I'm a giver. I give into this gospel. I give into the ministry myself, financial dollars myself. And so we're not asking anything of anyone that we don't do ourselves, not just the effort, which, you know, I understand that I'm doing the effort, but I also put my dollars into the gospel, too.
Me, too. And I believe in it, folks. This is my passion. I know a lot of guys are into golf, and a lot of women are into, what are women into? Aerobics or needlepoint or whatever you're into. It's cool. It's great. It's awesome. But this is our passion, and we are asking you to do nothing less than and nothing more than we've done. We've sunk a lot of money into this, and we are going to continue. But we're asking you to contribute tonight. 1-800-436-3260. There's still. It would be great to finish this show with somebody calling that second phone line. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening right now, it's about 10:25, 10:26 Eastern Time on Wednesday night. 1-800-436-3260. Who will pick up the phone and call and say, you know what, here's $10, here's $100, whatever you can do. 1-800-436-3260. Just got this email from our good buddy in New Jersey, Ryan Cunningham. He says, Mike, I've got to tell you that what you're talking about tonight is so beautiful and is truly what the world needs today. Thank you for being bold enough to speak about righteousness the way you do. And he says, he has a question. He says, Mike, he watches the History Channel a lot. And they talk a lot on the History Channel about the books that were left out of the conventional Bible. Where do these books that have been left out of the Bible play in our lives today?
Well, they would play as much as you would give them time, just the same as we give the books that were officially canonized. They would hold no more, no less weight than those that we have accepted. But again, the issue here is being guided by the revelation of the Scriptures, not any books that were included or excluded from the New Testament. I am grateful for them. I'm grateful for Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right straight through Revelation. I'm grateful for them, and can also be grateful for others that were supposedly left out. But that's not where we hang our hat. We hang our hat on that which Jesus said to hang our hat, and all of the disciples who disagreed with each other, at least the writers in the New Testament that disagreed with each other, all agreed that's where we should go to validate truth, and that is to go to the Scriptures, who, according to Jesus and Peter, James, and John, all agreed that the Scriptures were the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. It was nothing to do with books in or books out of the New Testament. So enjoy them. I would probably read through them. I think my goal is to help untangle the mess and help to glean out of the books in the New Testament the truth of the gospel, which was foretold by the prophets. Just remember, if the prophets of the Old Covenant did not explain in detail what you have in your belief system, you are not required to believe that. And if the prophets of old did not give some illumination on a writing that you see in the New Testament or out of the New Testament, there are things not even in the New Testament that the prophets foretold that other writers picked up on that may even be in the New Testament at all.
Right.
And vice versa.
And here's the thing about anything you read. It doesn't make a difference if it's the quote-unquote lost books of the Bible. It could be anybody's writing. If it's not if it's not edifying and lifting up the finished work of the cross, you do what you want with it. That's true with anybody's teachings, writings, shows on television, on the radio, whatever.
Absolutely.
1-800-43... Go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry.
Just like we have Marianne Williamson. We had people absolutely stop listening to us because... Well, the quote on the front of our webpage, and it's what persuaded me to actually keep it on there, was because we had a beautiful quote from Marianne Williamson, who does not profess to be a believer in Jesus Christ.
I think she might have a Mormon background or something.
Yes, but gave such a beautiful expression of some beautiful truth, I believe is an expression of truth, and I think it's beautiful. I think we can glean true things from any area of life or this planet, but the truth of the gospel must be validated by the Scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets.
Well, we made the request, and our request was honored. We got Matt calling in from Georgia. Matt, you are online with Michael Williams. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
And Matt has made a pledge, Michael, of $20 a month towards this effort. Matt, we cannot thank you. Where you live in Georgia?
That's Ackworth.
Nice.
A little bit north of Atlanta.
How long have you been listening to the webcast?
I've listened to all of them.
Oh. Thank you.
Wonderful.
For doing that. You know our twisted sense of humor by now, then.
I got a little extra taste on the pre-broadcast tonight.
Yeah, I guess that John was telling us we were on online before we thought we were online, I think, and I'm not really sure what we said, Glenn. So.
They always say when you're on mic, you better be careful. And when you're with Mike, you better be careful. But Matt, do you have any questions or comments for Mike as we close this webcast?
No, I don't. I mean, just I'm right behind you and giving what I can.
Well,
we appreciate it, Mike, and that's all that we ask for.
Matt, just do me a favor. Email us a webcast at Gospel Revolution, and com and just so we can have it as part of the goal. And are you going to go on the website and do it via PayPal?
I'm going to send, I do have a PayPal. I need to update it, but yeah.
Well, we've got the PayPal on the website, so you just got to go to the donations, then click on there, and then
either way you want to do it, even by check, is fine.
But we really appreciate it, and thank you for helping us finish this edition of the Pledge Drive Strong. We really appreciate it, Matt.
Thanks,
Matt.
I appreciate y'all.
Thanks, you brother. All right.
We did it.
That's called finishing strong, my friends. Michael, thank you so much for everything, and we'll have to listen to. Probably won't make the archive of what we were talking about. But I will be interested to hear what actually was being said.
Well, now seeing now with people listening to this archived, and since that we know that whatever we said is probably going to be taken off the archives, it's a better reason to listen live.
That's right. Log in live at 9 o'clock every Wednesday night, and we'll do it again next week as we finish the Spring Pledge Drive. And Michael, have a great rest of your evening. And
yep, you too, Glenn.
Love to everybody down there in beautiful Houston.
Thank you very much.
All right, my friends. I want to thank Patrick Jones for producing and engineering and call screening tonight. Thank you for everybody that contributed. As I said, we will do it 1 week's time next Wednesday, 9 o'clock to 10:30. And just to reiterate, if you make a $100 or more contribution, just let us know you did it by emailing us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and you will receive the Golgotha Secret CD for free. But regardless, $10, $5, $50, whatever you can do is all going towards this $5,000 goal over the next 21 days. Thanks again for listening. This is Glenn Klein Online. Shalom, everybody.